Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It is our championship week video notebook day number 12.
It's very late.
Very late.
It is very late.
Well, then that's why we're starting our show.
Yeah,
I'm
okay,
your
yeah.
host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Dorman. That's David Griggs. And as I mentioned already, this is the championship week video notebook.
Woo-hoo! Again, that the College Basketball Institute of Art has really come through with some of our graphics. That is sharp.
First of all, for anybody wondering, yes, the puppet is still locked in his bunker.
You
You
can
haven't even
leave.
opened your dinner from last night yet, Griggs. What's going on here?
I don't have a can opener. You just
It's a
threw it
pull
in here.
top.
Oh, so it is. But I don't have any fingers.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe the rat can help you.
Yeah,
My
let your friend
goodness.
eat it. Yeah.
Give it a couple of days. The rat will gnaw through the can and you'll be good to go.
Either that or it'll just like explode from botulism.
We started our Hoops HD mock committee tonight. Maybe John Sleek will jump on here in a few minutes and give us a recap. If not, I'll do that at the end of the show. But also, Griggs, the real committee is continuing its meetings today, correct?
Yes, they are. Another busy day.
And
So,
we have their minutes again.
oh, we do. Okay, like this is so th we have this on the screen here. So yeah, we're just gonna run through the like at 8:43 this morning, the staffers walked through the halls to of the hotel to kind of get them up out of the room. One of the tricks, they put tape on the doors. A lot of coaches do this. I'm sure you know that. That way, if someone tries to leave after lights out, one of the players sneak out or something, they'll know because the tape is broken. And unfortunately, it looks like two of the committee members.
I've actually figured out already, Griggs, what one of them was. Mark Coyle, he's the AD from Minnesota. Word
Yeah.
is that he got on a plane, snuck out, got on a
He got.
plane, went to Minnesota, fired head coach Ben Johnson, and came back.
Wow. So, but again,
I don't
out
know,
of
but I
his
don't know who the
room,
other one was.
yeah,
That's still a
don't know who the
mystery.
other one was, but out
That
of his room after lights out. So at
was bad,
9:02,
though.
bad, bad. Staffers obviously disappointed. The committee meets for breakfast at 9:02. Before getting started, it is announced that two members have been out of their rooms and that there will be consequences. And as you would expect, I mean, this just sort of this cloud hanging over the committee. And this is not the kind of distraction you need before such a big day. Like, you hate when this happens, when a couple of key players do it. You certainly hate it when committee members do it. So at 11 a.m., a couple hours later, breakfast ends, and instead of meeting to go over the ballot, like the initial ballots to decide, who to put in, who to take out, they decide to take a break after breakfast, before lunch. And then at lunch, the committee meets for lunch. And the mood is still really solemn. It's hard to focus people out of the room. It's such a distraction. 2 hours later, lunch ends, and again, 2:15. They had originally scheduled to meet and go over the field again, but decided to take another break before the ice cream social. The ice cream social commenced at Vince. And Chad, this was kind of again. This is when the discipline was doled out. The staffers decided that the two people that were out of their rooms, what do you do? Do you suspend them? Do you bench them? I guess you can't really bench them, but it was just too important of a day. So what, but they didn't get away with it free, Chad. They were sent to the back of the line. They were the last ones to get their ice cream, those two.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, yep. And
Yeah. 5 o'clock.
you fire your head coach, you got to go to the end of the line. And yeah,
Yeah.
we do feel bad for Ben Johnson, but new
Yeah.
changes coming there in Minnesota.
Yeah, and
Then came dinner, right?
yeah. Well, at 5 o'clock, another meeting was canceled because they decided to take a break before dinner. From 6:30 to 9, dinner was served. After dinner, they were going to watch a movie. And who? What staffer was it? The staff is starting to get kind of concerned because of the lack of work that's getting done. But when they suggested canceling the movie, that really was upsetting. People became really distressed, the committee members. Then things sort of went sideways, did they not? Like, they couldn't agree on what movie to watch. The two options were Back to the Future and the new Barbie movie. And from what I understand, things got so heated that half of the people just stormed out of the meeting room and went back to their rooms. And Chad, we've been saying that you cannot put this committee in a position to where they have to make a decision. It's just going to get it's just going to divide people. They're not going to be together. This was not a good idea to not have the movie predetermined.
It
This is a
was
terrible day.
yeah,
It
I
was a
mean,
bad day.
yeah.
So yeah, then what do they do? They eventually have to come over here and take a look at our survival board, right?
Yeah, at 11:15, there were only 7 members left in the room. Everybody else had just been, again, they couldn't agree on the movie. They decided to look at the survival board, and I think they unanimously voted in all of the
Right
teams in blue.
here. Oh, wait, where is the survival board? Hold
Yeah.
on a second.
Okay.
There, that survival board. Yes.
Yes,
Sorry about that.
this survival board. And after that, did Dan Gavitt call you? I understood. We were wrapping up our work for tonight. It was 11:30. We'd been doing a lot. I mean, we didn't watch movies and have the ice cream socials. We had other things we had to do. But what was his issue, Chad?
His issue was just the things were going so slow. And I said, listen, we're doing as much as we can for you. We'll get to this survival board at the end of the show here. But again, just throw
Yeah.
flesh out right up there on the screen for you. This is, we categorize the teams here for you. We get you teams in blue and green and red. That's what the survival board is there for. All you got to do is very limited work, and they're not doing it.
Yeah. And I gotta say, when we look at what all happened today, it does seem like not much is getting done.
Well, we'll see what happens here. But there were
Yeah.
games being played, and that
Yeah,
kind
there
of helps a
were.
little bit, right?
Yeah.
Let's
Michael
start out.
Chaw.
Mike Cha
Yeah.
joining us first. So, Mike, hey, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. We've been
And
out for 30 minutes.
I would
We've
have
been out
joined a
for
few
30
minutes
minutes.
ago,
You
but
haven't missed
in my
anything.
area
Yeah.
they had a area-wide power outage. They said it was a
Oh.
pre-planned power outage to do some updates and that stuff. So I couldn't have joined even if I wanted to.
Jeez.
Sounds like your Wolverine offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
We'll be dancing though, ass over
Yes, you
backwards,
will.
but we'll be dancing.
Yeah.
Let's get to some games here. And it was quarterfinal day, Dorman, in the ACC, where we saw most importantly, I think Carolina did what they need to do, but we also saw a big injury in the Duke game, potentially.
Cooper Flagg goes down with it looks super serious because we see him in a wheelchair and you just never know with an ankle. Is it sprained? Is it broken? What's going on? It looks like it's just a sprain. So it looks good for the future of Cooper Flagg. I'm not a doctor. I didn't get to speak to him. You saw him putting some weight on it later in the day. So I would be stunned if he saw another second of the ACC tournament. I gotta believe
Right.
he's done. They know what they have in this team. They can go as far as Cooper can take them, and that is all the way as long as he is healthy. So he's probably done for the ACC tournament. Now, let's get to the court. North Carolina, in a battle with Wake Forest, was losing most of the game. I
Georgia
would
Tech.
say.
Oh, wait, yeah, sorry, wrong game, wrong game.
Wake Forest was in control of this game most of the way. And Carolina, they had Carolina fans nervous and sweating. Carolina came through. RJ Davis hit some big shots down the stretch. Wake Forest just couldn't, like all year, they couldn't score when they needed to. They just don't have a shooter. They don't have a score on Wake that they can go to and they can count on. And they couldn't score down the stretch. Carolina wins. Now they get Duke, who did hold off Georgia Tech, which is the second bit of news because the injury was way more important. Georgia Tech, Griggs, looked great in the first half. They had the lead most of the first half. And Duke was sweating. Now they're losing the game and they lost Flagg. Now Duke played an incredible, a really great second half. Con Canupo was amazing. He's just a stud. And you could see how if there was no Cooper Flagg, Canupo might have been the freshman of the country this year. He was just amazing today. Duke ends up beating Georgia Tech. Oh, there was a fight. So we set up Duke, Carolina, round three. The big question is, Carolina wins. Is it enough? Because now it's without Flag. That's the big question.
I think it would be.
Yeah, I agree. I think they win this even without Flag there. I think Carolina is in. They lose it. I think that's when things are real interesting because I still think there's a path.
I just don't think they've done much, but beating Duke on a neutral floor, even without Cooper Flagg, is a lot. And I mean, the bubble's looking pretty thin, but
Yeah. How
keep
about
in
the
mind,
Vikings?
Duke is a 7.5 favorite, and the odds makers, they do know that Flagg is unlikely to play. So, I mean, Duke has other good players too. That's
Oh,
not,
yeah.
it's.
Oh, yeah. The nightcap here, Griggs. We thought there was a chance to be two blowouts. There weren't. There were two very
No.
good games. Chucky Hepburn at the buzzer for Louisville,
Yeah.
and then Clemson just barely hanging on and coming back and beating SMU there.
Yeah,
I knew the
and I don't.
Cardinal would win. It's just weather would be wish and what's on ice. So,
I like that.
yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I
I was just yeah. I don't know what to make of this. Like, I don't know if it was disappointing in Louisville and Clemson, or if it was just Stanford and SMU really stepped up, or a little bit of both. I didn't think either one of them would struggle as much as they did. Again, Louisville needing the last second shot after trailing for a good portion of the game, and then Clemson, that was back and forth, but they ended up pulling it out. So Louisville, Clemson, I mean, I'm actually kind of looking forward to both these semifinals
Yeah, me
tomorrow.
too.
Yeah, this is gonna be a real good one. And we got Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org joining us too.
Rocco!
Hey,
Yeah.
as he loads in here, let's jump over to the Big 12 games that were played today. And Griggs, let me start with you with the afternoon games, where Houston actually Colorado gave them a bit more of a game than we thought they would, and the BYU
Yeah.
Iowa State game was a hell of a game with a ton of points scored.
Yeah, the well BYU Iowa yeah, BYU Iowa State was just awesome. It was back and forth. It was two like solid tournament teams, both teams definitely in the top half of the bracket. Many think that Iowa State still has a case for a protected seed. BYU continues to roll, and they've been rolling for the better part of last month, and they've been beating good teams both at home and on the road. And this game against Houston tomorrow is fascinating. The styles contrast. I know they played earlier in the year, but it was before BYU really caught fire and went on this run. And when a team is red hot like that, you kind of see want to see what they can do against a team like Houston. This is just I mean, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating here. BYU and Iowa State, when they played earlier in the year, the score was in the 80s, and the game went double overtime.
Yeah.
It was just this explosion of offense in this game. And I think we have Rocco Miller now joining us. And Rocco, if you are here, we're on the Big 12, and maybe you want to talk about the bottom half of the games, this evening's games here, with Texas Tech getting by Baylor from a huge effort from JT Toppin, and then the Arizona win as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chad, and good to see you guys. I would just say Baylor going to the clubhouse here with 3 nights of sleep. I think they're going to find their way in, but the more and more you look at them, the more and more it's a little tougher to feel great about it. They're 18 and 14 versus Division One. They've been a 4-6 team without their big guy Josh. And their one win against the NCAA tournament level is West Virginia at home in overtime, a West Virginia team that's also maybe barely squeezing in. And, they did play well in this tournament. I thought they looked good against Kansas State in the win. I thought that was really important. And then this game today rallied all the way back. They looked bad for a while, but rallied all the way back. So at least they lost close. Good final impression, in my opinion. But I mean, there's enough reasons to potentially leave the Bears out should we have a little bit of chaos across the country and need to get rid of teams.
Yeah, well, the good news for them is we're running out of chances for chaos here as
We
conference
are.
tournaments go on. And the other good thing is I've just thought that they passed the eye test for me. And I know that, well, what is an eye test? I just think they looked really good in these two games. Sets up a Mike, an interesting Texas Tech Arizona game tomorrow also. Not much on the line in terms of probably not much on the line in terms of seeding either for these teams at this point, but should be a good game at least.
Yeah, I agree with the Big 12. You see the four remaining teams, they're all locked, so there's going to be no bid stealers from this conference. BYU, I think they're definitely a lock for the upper half of the draw. And going back to the Texas Tech Arizona game, that's, if anything, it's just maybe a slight bump in the seeding. But otherwise, these two teams are safely in the field. These two games tomorrow should be exciting matchups. I'm really fascinated. Even today, all four games were at least halfway decent. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's action. I think it's going to be two great games Friday night.
Over in the Big East, Dorman, again, St. John's took care of Butler, but how about the Xavier Marquette game in the afternoon? So we should start there.
Was fantastic. Xavier, again, played great in the first half, controlled the game, played the tempo they wanted to. Sean Miller seemed happy. I thought his team came out with a fire, and everything they needed to do in the first half, they did. Marquette, the one thing Marquette did right was they didn't let themselves get blown out of the building, but they were struggling. They had matchups down low. They weren't guarding. They were leaving shooters open for threes. Xavier was hitting. Then it was a change up. Whatever Shaka did in the half in the locker room at the Garden, he woke up this Marquette team, and their studs went to work. And I really love this Marquette team when they're clicking on all cylinders. And in the second half, they came all the way back. They hit some big threes. And Xavier just didn't have enough in the end, but it was fantastic. It was a great basketball game, high level. Only me speaking, I have Xavier sneaking in. I think they get in.
Yeah, Ryan Conwell, 38 points to them. He was incredible.
Awesome.
But for Marquette, Cam Jones was 28, and it was David Joplin down the stretch with a big block that was just, I thought, was the key to this game here. As Marquette came back from down 14 in the second half there, Marquette gets St. John's tomorrow. But Griggs, maybe we want to talk about the bottom half of this bracket where. Well, the last game that was played here, UConn Villanova. Villanova was actually up at half, but it was all UConn late in this game. But
Yeah.
how about Creighton and DePaul, though? How about the DePaul Blue Demons, who were up 15 at halftime and almost almost went into the semifinals here?
Yeah. I mean, what a story this would have been for them to come into the tournament, like beat Georgetown, which not many people were really expecting them to do. And then had they been able to pull off the upset win against Creighton and go into the semis. I know a lot of people are probably disappointed in Creighton. Maybe they just kind of slept through their alarm and didn't play well. But I was actually more impressed with DePaul than I was disappointed in Creighton. Chris Holtmann, his first year there, I know they finished 10th, but I think that the foundation is being dug for this program to take off under him. And today was maybe like a foreshadowing of what we'll see in the future. As for the present, Creighton did get the win. They did hold serve. They did avoid what would have been a little dent in their armor. And they'll face a Connecticut team tomorrow in a pretty evenly matched game.
Yeah, Rocco, any thoughts on these semifinals tomorrow and where the Big East stands now?
Yeah, well, I think it's a big one between St. John's and Marquette. You know, we saw that season finale went right down to overtime and a super intense battle. I thought it was very entertaining, the John Fanta and Cam Jones interview right after the Marquette win today. And the final question of the interview to Cam Jones was, "What are your thoughts on St. John's tomorrow?" And he just said, "Let's get it," and stormed off. And it did it in like a very like mean, serious way. Like they really want to beat St. John's. And then we know how good St. John's is. We know St. John's probably, you know, the committee's still considering this game for the last two seed, at least this one. And so it's huge for them. And Marquette, you know, honestly, they didn't play well the last month. So they're trying to prove it to themselves that they can get back up to that level we thought they were, you know, the first 3, 4 months of the year. And then in terms of Creighton UConn, I thought Creighton, you know, despite how bad they struggled tonight, I think they've done really well in this matchup historically. Kyle Brenner gives UConn a lot of problems. And so, yeah, I think that's fascinating because, you know, maybe Creighton comes out and they can breathe a little bit after they survive that scare and maybe take care of UConn.
It was also a quarterfinal. Oh, sorry, second round day actually. The Big Ten, Mike, you're one of our Big Ten guys here, and begins with the afternoon with Wisconsin got by Northwestern and how about Indiana? How about, sorry, Oregon, what they did to Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana. I think they'll be in. They'll either be the team with the last bye or among the first four. But if they had won today, they would definitely be safely in the field. They were leading early on, but Oregon took over and they prevailed 72-59. But Indiana was leading early on. I thought early on Indiana was going to pull this out, but Oregon, to their credit, they played very well. They've won what, 8 and 9 in a row. They're hot down the stretch here. And they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, this Oregon team is looking really good. And Dorman, the nightcap, Illinois had a game effort from Iowa, but even more so, USC really had their shots against Purdue.
USC had every opportunity to win this game. Another team with a big lead in the first half gave it all back in the second half. This game was tied with, I believe, 18 seconds. And our committee was going on, and we had a big vote going on, but Purdue hit a shot, I believe, with 11 seconds, and USC wasn't able to answer, so they get the tight win there. They got fouled at the last with like a second or two, so the score looks bigger than it was. But this one went right down to the wire. I thought USC looked good. They were game. They had Purdue where they wanted them, especially in the first half, and then wow. Purdue came on. So that sets up a matchup of Michigan, Mike's team, who is, and I'm not making fun of him, it just really needs this win for the team morale, for momentum, for just to stop the bleeding, even if it's only one win, just get one win if you're a Wolverine fan. And Purdue, I think a protected seed is probably still in, still in place. They probably would seal it with another win or two. We'll see how determined they are to keep going in this tournament. But if I'm Michigan, I really want this game tomorrow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
this game.
agree. I mean, granted, their last three losses have been against quad one teams, but two of
No
them
doubt.
have been blowouts. That's the thing that bothers me. It's not so much, losing the quad one teams, but two of them have been blowouts.
Great point.
Yeah, and here we are with the top eight seeds actually advancing the Big Ten tournament if we had three upsets on the opening
No bit
day.
stealer there.
Michigan State, Oregon, UCLA, Wisconsin. Yeah, and Rocco, actually, our mock committee tonight, we locked all eight of these teams into the field. So we're not going to have anybody steal a bid in the Big Ten, that's for certain.
That is for certain. USC was that final hope tonight, and they played pretty tough. I was following that score as much as I could till the Wi-Fi on the flight unfortunately stopped working. But
Oh.
it is what it is, and all three bid thieves went down today, so that's that.
Yep. Rocco, let me stick with you over in the SEC. We'll
Oh
start with
my
the
God.
afternoon.
Oh
We'll
my
get to what
goodness.
just happened recently, but we've had a hell of a day beginning with the Ole Miss Arkansas game and then the double overtime thriller between Texas and Texas A&M.
Yes, we did. And yeah, Arkansas should still be okay. Obviously played well and they're just good enough. Like it's kind of frustrating because all these teams, it's just it feels like a house of cards with the SEC bubble. They all just win when they need to win, but then you go back and look at their profiles, they don't blow you away. But at the same time, they're just barely better than the teams they get compared to, so they stay in. That's Arkansas. And then with Tennessee, Texas. Texas has a long way to go. I said on Monday, minimum 3 wins this week. They've got two so far. Of course, big to beat your rivals. They actually kind of blew it in regulation, right, Chad? So the fact they even went to overtime was their own ability to struggle down the stretch in games. But good job for the Horns to get the W. Now, obviously, Tennessee, a much stiffer test in Nashville, of course, right there in Tennessee's backyard. So we'll see. I saw Tennessee's team during that game scouting the game. We'll see how. You just never know with some of these teams. Like Tennessee's pretty much locked into a 2 seed. Are they going to come and bring it? Do they just want to put all their eggs in the SEC tournament basket? Or are they cool with punting and getting ready for the bigger tournament next week? So, anyway, regardless for Texas, I think even if they beat Tennessee and they lose on Saturday, they're still 2 under .500 in meaningful games. And, yeah, I would have a hard time putting Texas in unless they make it to Sunday.
Yeah, I think they become interesting with one more win. I know some people think they're in right now. I
Yeah,
think you
oh,
and I
I do.
agree that they're not there. But
Right.
Griggs, in the
Yeah.
night games, Mizzou pulled away late and got the win over Mississippi State, but we actually started this podcast about 10, 15 minutes ago because Kentucky
Chad
was
said
up
the
10.
Game was over.
The game was over. Here came Oklahoma just storming back. Jeremiah Fears with 6 seconds left, gets the shot in for the Sooners. They take a one-point lead, but Oteka away for Kentucky gets the lay-in there with half a second left. And the Wildcats somehow steal this one back.
Unbelievable.
Ian Fears both had great games. Incredible finish here as we were recording.
That's why I had my mouth agape a couple minutes ago. That was not fake. I'm checking the score. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So the sequence was Oklahoma scores, forces a turnover, scores again, forces another turnover, scores again, goes ahead. And with all of that momentum, you feel like it's going to be one last gasp for Kentucky. And they drive the length of the floor, hit a shot at the buzzer for the second time in how many weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they've beaten Oklahoma on a buzzer beater. And
there's Oklahoma's profile on the right because there's some people saying that they really needed this game. I don't know if they did or not, but it's going to be close with them.
It's going to be close. I think had they gotten this one, it would have put them in. I think had they gotten the first one, it would have put them in. That's what the bubble is. It's teams that have lost a lot of games that they could have won in a lot of cases. So they're no different from Xavier, who also lost a close game, and Indiana, who went through a stretch of really competitive close losses. So what is it you like to say, Chad? Good teams don't lose close games; they win them.
Yep,
or something
exactly.
Like that.
I don't have a screen here, but
But what a show and what a day we're in for tomorrow. What a day today, and tomorrow's even better.
Mike, by the way, we haven't threaded four of the best teams in the entire nation who are jumping into the fray in this conference tournament tomorrow with Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, and Alabama all getting in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm really excited. This is just unbelievable. This is like, you know, the best against the best. Well, actually, seven of the eight, and then it's like one of them is not like the others, but if you know what I mean. But still, this is going to be awesome. I mean, you got, like you said, you know, three number ones and another team that's on the cusp that could be a number one seed. They're all in action tomorrow. It's just going to be unbelievable.
This is going to be probably one of the best quarterfinal days in any conference tournament has ever had.
And a good point about Texas, because if Texas loses tomorrow, then they fall back to three below 500 against the top three tiers, and that's really dangerous territory. That's not a good omen if you're three below.
It's categorically disqualifying, but we're in different times.
We are. We'll see what happens here. Let's jump over Rocco, Mountain West Day. As we record this, Utah State has a 12-point lead and getting late against UNLV, but New Mexico and Colorado State did what they needed to do, and Boise State won that big showdown with San Diego State.
Yeah, they did. I got the chance to that game started at a perfect time for my schedule today, so I was all in on that one. And you know, San Diego State played well and controlled the first 30 minutes of the game, and then all of a sudden, you know, they did what they've done before in these ugly Boise matchups. Sorry for the noise here, but you had a situation where the Aztecs, the last 4.5 minutes or so, I think they only made one field goal, and they just went dry. They took a lot of jump shots. All the jump shots were off. I had the stats up there. I think they went 1 of 14 in their last 14 attempts, and Boise did a great job doing one-and-done defensive rebounding, and all of a sudden it just leaked into a 10-point ball win for the Broncos. So big win for them. I do think the Aztecs have a home in the tournament, but I do think Dayton's a lot more in play than maybe it was before. It's always been kind of on the table due to the bleeding metrics and all that stuff. But the win over Houston, the win over Creighton, enough wins in this conference, and the Aztecs, I think, will be dancing. It's just a different place. Like, it snapped a streak. I think we talked about it on the email. 2007 is the last time they lost their first game in this tournament. They have literally thousands of people come over, and they expect to be in Vegas for 3-4 days. And this is the first time I saw a bunch of Aztecs tonight at the airport. They were all like immediately going back home. So it's a different feeling at this tournament this year.
Yeah. Now it's some interesting here. Boise State getting close, could really use the win tomorrow against New Mexico. Colorado State, I think they need two more wins, and obviously that would be a little bit. But they're going to get an interesting game tomorrow against Utah State, and this is where we could still see a bid stolen All those bubble teams are rooting for Utah State and New Mexico tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. And I think with Boise as well, I would just give them the same prescription that you gave Colorado State, Chad, because I know they have way more wins. They added another win against probably the field today, but I just do not trust the committee historically with the Mountain West team that basically only built their profile in their home state and one win here at the conference tournament against the bubble team. Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado State had been on fire. They did struggle a little bit today against the Nevada team that I think is, what's the word? Not good. That's the one I'm trying to do.
This conference is crazy. This is going to be incredible theater as we go down the stretch here, because just like Rocco said, I think New Mexico's safe. I think winning this league outright, a strong league like this, they're good. Boise State right on the cut line. Colorado State getting to right on the cut line. Utah State with this win, I kind of feel they're safe. Another win would probably seal it, but I think Utah State's in. But what could go on the next 2 days in Vegas is going to be nuts.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going to have, if Utah State holds on, the four mythical regional champions. We've got the top range, the front range, the front range and the beehive. There it is. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. I could not get that thought out of my head.
And don't forget, we have a court that's sponsored by Joby Fortson.
Yes, Joby Fortson.
The Liga took care of that.
Yeah.
Dorman, it was a second round day in the American today. And while a couple of the games were pretty good ones, I thought we were just kind of getting through today until we actually get, Memphis and North Texas playing tomorrow.
Completely agree, Chad. All the favorites kind of slogged around and took a lead and held on to it. It was tight in the end. They ended up getting through. I'm talking about Florida Atlantic, Wichita State, East Carolina barely needed free throws in the end. And then my and your upset, Temple, got beaten by Tulsa. But I agree.
Temple had a 14-point lead in this thing, that they just threw it away. So so much for my Temple Cinderella run again this year that we had last year.
Fascinating around Memphis and North Texas jump in. So this is going to get real interesting. This is where.
I think
you froze up here. So, Griggs, let me ask you as we try to get Dorman back. Do you see any seeding upsets here tomorrow?
East Carolina did look pretty good today, but no, I think it's all chalk. Maybe FAU over Tulane, but I don't.
Mike, it was also second round day in the A-10, which also had a bunch of fun games here, including maybe we got to give a shout out first of all to the very last game of the day. St. Joe's, with 3:46 left, had a 68-47 lead over LaSalle, and that is not a typo on the screen. They cut it to 3 points and almost came all the way back in this game. It was amazing.
Yeah, the city bragging rights here, the Battle of Philadelphia, and St. Joe's did just enough to win. All four games were very competitive, but the only thing is, much like the American Athletic Conference, is these four games didn't really move the arrow in terms of the at large of the tournament, of the big tournament field, and just moves us one round closer to the where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and this was the conference of comebacks here. Duquesne had a 13-point lead. The Bonnies finished the game on a 13-1 run to win that game. GW had a 13-point lead as well in the second half. Fordham came back all the way, took the lead, and then it became the Trey Autry show. 3 3-pointers right down the stretch here for Autry for GW, and he just won the game single-handedly for him. Go ahead, Griggs. Any thoughts on tomorrow's games?
Yeah, VCU needs to win. I think pretty much everybody needs to win in order to. I don't think this team gets anything other, or this conference gets anything other than the auto bid. I know that there's a lot of love for VCU, but when you look at their resume, it's a bulk of wins, but none of them, other than maybe the win against Dayton, really jump out as indications of being tournament caliber wins. And to, offset that, they have a couple of losses, particularly one to Seton Hall that torpedoes them. They're a good team. They're good enough to win this tournament, but I think of all the games they've won, one of the games they need to win is that last one. Dayton and St. Joe's is interesting. Dayton, I think, lifted the most weight, certainly before conference play started. If anything, it was kind of a surprise that they lost some of the games in the league that they did. And if they can get through this, I think that if either VCU or Dayton can get through this tournament, and maybe George Mason as well, they could conceivably get past the round of 64. I mean, those are good teams that are playing well now, but they need to win this tournament to get there.
Rocco, let's jump ahead to Conference USA, where we had the second and sorry, the 4-5, I guess, and the 3-6 games. And although yesterday was not that much fun, today was a ton of fun in this league.
Yeah, I mean the Kennesaw State game with New Mexico State looked insane,
Which it was.
and both these teams have overachieved all year. Kennesaw State was picked last for preseason, and of course Adrian Woolley became one of the best in a year of incredible freshmen across power conference play. I would argue Adrian Woolley has been either the best or right up there with the guys in the high major as well, freshmen in the country. And this team is a connected, really good group. Now today, Simeon Cottle went nuts for 32. He's their all-star senior, but Woolley added 17, and that game was like back and forth, back and forth. 48 points in the last 10 minutes of the game. Kennesaw gets the W. Liberty came out really strong against UTEP. They've been on a mission, getting that title that eluded them last year. And Kennesaw, I beat Liberty down the stretch, but we'll see if they have anything left in the tank based on just how that New Mexico State win played out today, Chad.
Yeah, and then the bottom game, Middle Tennessee thought they had this game won at the end of regulation, and it turned out there was a shot clock violation by about a tenth of a second of what would have been the
Yeah.
game-winning shot.
Wow.
Ended up going double overtime, but Middle does get the win, Griggs, and since it's been an interesting game with Jacksonville State, I think this could be a really good game tomorrow. I'm not
It
certain.
could
I
be.
think Liberty might blow up, might roll right over Kennesaw, honestly, because Liberty's playing so good right now. But Jacksonville, Middle Tennessee, I'm looking forward to.
And some, these games are in the afternoon. That both teams should be fresh going into the championship game Saturday evening. But
But maybe
yeah,
not
this,
so fresh tomorrow.
yeah, but maybe not as fresh tomorrow. So Jack State did get a little more rest. I don't know how much that's going to matter, but yeah, I concur. I don't need to elaborate. You pretty much phrased it perfectly. That's an interesting game.
I
Go
mean,
ahead.
Griggs, I would just add that was a double OT game, but Middle Tennessee played, Weston played 42 minutes, Buford 38, Porter 37, Alston 32. Probably their four best players played well over 30 minutes into 40 minutes. So it could matter, but they do go about 8, 9 deep. So I think they can be okay.
Mike, we had two quarterfinals today in the Metro Atlantic. Iona took care of Manhattan, and Mount St. Mary's in a close, tight one got past Marist. Any thoughts on these two games?
Not really. I'm mildly surprised by Mount St. Mary's winning over Marist, a 6-3. But at least both games were very well played, compete, well played and tough, and well played and close. No blowouts there. But yeah, a mild upset with Mount St. Mary's winning. Good for them. So it'll be Mount St. Mary's against Merrimack.
Yeah, a little
That'll be
disappointed
him.
to see John Dunn's Marist team out of it here if they had such
Yeah,
a good
the
startup
kings of
season.
quad four. No one was better at quad four.
Dorman, how about this? Quinnipiac, Iona, Merrimack, Mount St. Mary's tomorrow in the semifinals.
I think we're going to have two great games. I think Merrimack is too much for Mount St. Mary's. And you guys have gotten me on this Quinnipiac train, and I've been impressed since you guys noted it, and I've been watching. This is a fantastic, fascinating game, Quinnipiac and Iona in the semifinal tomorrow night. I think it'll be rocking in on the boardwalk there in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I hope the crowd's great. because these are two great games. So I think chalk holds Quinnipiac, Merrimack, Saturday night.
I don't think chalk holds. I think Iona's going to
Oh.
pull off this upset. They've
Oh.
been one of the hotter teams of this conference
Yeah.
lately. Quinnipiac struggled a little bit down the stretch, so
And they always struggle in the tournament.
Over in the Mid-American Conference, Rocco, let me ask you about this league here. We had the quarterfinal day today, which included an overtime game between Toledo and Ohio and
Yeah.
three other games.
Yeah, I was locked into the Toledo Ohio game, Chad. It was crazy. Ohio got fouled 4.5.
Yep,
Rock,
we lost
we're
your
having
sound
all
there,
kinds of
Rocco.
technical difficulties.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
We got you
Yes.
now.
Now we can hear you.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. No,
No,
so
it's okay.
I watched this game, and Ohio Toledo was a great battle all game. I think there was something like 17 league changes, 16 ties, and it comes down to Ohio gets fouled 4.5 seconds left, makes the first, misses the second, then Toledo calls timeout, sets up a full court 94 feet play. The guard, I think it was Simmons, he kind of chucked up a zero, like a less than 5% chance of going in shot from just inside the arc, and gets, he gets a little shove, probably not smart by the Ohio defender, but the ref called it, and it was very controversial, let's just put it that way. Then Toledo goes to the line, they make one, and then they miss the second, so we're tied anyway, and we go to overtime. So just multiple chances for both teams to close it out. Probably why both these teams landed in the 4-5 game. Obviously, they're both very good, prestigious programs for the MAC level. But Toledo, credit to them, they outplayed them in OT and got it done in the end.
Yep, and now that sets up Griggs Akron Toledo, and oh, I think it'll be a really good Miami Kent game.
I'm really looking forward to this one. This Miami team has had a great year. It's been a while since they've been this good, maybe since Charlie Cole was there.
Charlie.
They struggled today. You kind of got the sense that they would struggle in this tournament, but they did get the win. And Kent State, Western Michigan was in there, but it's an all-Ohio Final Four. I think Akron rolls. I would like to see, I know this is sacrilege, I would like to see Miami, Ohio get to the championship game. I kind of like Travis Steele. I kind of like programs that typically experience success that either haven't for a while or never have. And I know that that is like rooting against the wagon wheel, but I kind of want to see it.
I'm calling the wagon wheel. I
I
think
am
we get the
too.
wagon
I
wheel.
think it will be a wagon wheel final.
Akron Kent
Well,
State.
yeah. And on the other side, I would say Toledo's a pretty decent underdog against Akron this year, but they've had so many years where Toledo was the heavy favorite, and they keep losing this tournament, and that's their MO for 15 years. So wouldn't it be funny if this is the year they steal it when they didn't have nearly their best team?
And Miami's beaten Kent State twice this year already. So here comes number three. See if they can go 3-0.
Dorman, over the MEAC, we had a couple of really fun games today. I mean, they weren't. I don't think either team is going to win tomorrow, quite honestly. But Morgan State pulls off the mild upset over Howard. And how about Isaac Parson with the buzzer beater there for North Carolina Central over Delaware State.
Yeah, it looked like we were going to overtime, and Parker hits a really cool shot. North Carolina Central went crazy. They haven't had much success this year, but it was a really cool moment to see them jump off the bench and start a little celebration there on the court. Tomorrow, things are going to get tougher, though. They get South Carolina State, who just beat Coppin State. But the Coppin State was game. They were in the game for a while, most of the game. There were no real big blowouts here. Even the teams that lost were in the game for most of the day here today in Norfolk, Virginia. But Norfolk State remains the favorite, the most talented team here in the conference. They've done it all year long, and they just are very good in the MEAC tournament. When they have the best talent, they usually get it done. They get a matchup tomorrow with Morgan State, who barely got by Howard this evening.
Yeah, let's Griggs, let's go over jump over to the SWAC. We had Alabama State eliminating Texas Southern, the perennial power there, and then
Yeah.
Bethune-Cookman finding a way to pull away late and beat and knock down Alcorn State.
Yeah, Cookman, no, I wasn't really surprised by either game. I had seen Alabama State. I'd liked some of the things that they had done during the year. They didn't always play up to their ceiling, but they certainly played up to it often enough to where I felt like that they could win. I think they've got, because the bracket collapsed for them a little bit, certainly a winnable game tomorrow. Cookman, I really like this Cookman team. This should be a pretty good game tomorrow, but they did. I wasn't expecting them to struggle as much as they did in the game today.
Well, Mike, when you look at it here, you look at the seating especially, this might be the game for the championship, the Jackson State Bethune-Cookman game now.
Yeah, I mean that those are the two highest seeds left. I mean, you look at the top half, Southern, the one seed lost to Grambling, so it's 8 against 5. Yeah, who knows? I think Jackson State Bethune-Cookman may be the de facto championship of the SWAC. We'll see.
Well, actually, early on in the season, Alabama State was pretty good,
Yeah,
Rocco, and
they were.
I think, I guess you're on their bandwagon, huh?
Well, I'd go back to February 10th, Chad. They've only lost once. They've been the hottest. They were the hottest team coming into the SWAC tournament.
Okay.
And they still have TJ Madlock, who's an incredible floor general, probably more closer to a high major player than a SWAC player. And they actually tightened up the defense quite a bit. You ran the report for the last month of play coming into the SWAC tournament, and it kept telling me Alabama State's the favorite. And then I go back to the bracket, and they're the 5 seed. And now the bracket's blown up into the Hornets' favor. So I'm going to take Alabama State from here.
All right. Well, there is a team that's obviously missing from the brackets or missing all championship week, and we got to give
Yeah.
a shout out to our good friend to our friends over at MVSU MBB official parody account. But the
Yeah. Have you
Mississippi
seen
Valley State Delta Devils
the
selection committee, they want in. They're America's team. They have the best defensive efficiency in the
Please, pretty
nation,
please.
Yeah.
and it would be funny.
It would be funny. It's one of the bullet points here.
But
But that's
that's
incredible. Yeah, we're making sure the committee sees that and considers it.
we're showing it every night just so in case they
Yeah.
happen to miss a show or tune in late or something.
They will too. I know a couple members that watch.
Yeah.
Big West,
Oh God, wait.
yes. Oh,
Rocco,
well,
Rocco.
before you got on, Rocco, we recapped everything they did today. You'll have to go back and see it.
Rocco, UC Santa Barbara completely blew up my Big West bracket because I was calling for a Northridge upset of San Diego tomorrow, and it's not even going to get played.
I know. I was actually really surprised by this one because in both Northridge Santa Barbara games this year, Northridge just completely owned them. In fact, the one they played near the end of the year, I think Northridge beat them by 30. And so I didn't see this one coming at all. Great win for Santa Barbara. Swenson played his ass off. I think that last game of the season when Santa Barbara blew that huge lead to Irvine, and Irvine scored 67 in the second half, I think it woke them up. It was one of those games where it was like, you're either going to fold your tent now or you're going to come back fighting. And that's what the Gauchos have done in this tournament so far. Really exciting for them. And then I think the big story, and I wish we would have been able to talk about it right before the tourney started. It's my fault for not being able to make it onto the notebook. This is the best show on the internet every night. But I'd tell you this, Cal Poly, and I think you guys know, they had to work their butts off for the last 4 weeks just to get into this thing. They started 0-8, and they're about to be 10-4 since, Chad, because right now they're
They're up 10 late on Riverside.
yeah
Now,
yeah nine-point
Oklahoma
lead.
showed us that game's not over yet, but we'll
That's
see.
true. And
Cal Poly plays with like the number two tempo in the country, so 86 points is not enough for them to win some nights. But the way they're playing, the way they're connected, and three of their starters came with Mike DeGeorge from Colorado Mesa. I call him Drake Light because the way they constructed they don't play like Drake at all. They're actually played like the opposite. But the way they constructed the roster, three Division II players, all starters, all played together at Colorado Mesa with the coach, and it just took them a while to get healthy, and it took them a while to get clicking, and now their confidence is through the roof. And I don't know, man. Like Cal Poly could get all the way to the finals.
They could. That may be the team that gets upset is actually Irvine tomorrow, Griggs, instead of San Diego. Maybe it's San Diego versus Poly in the championship game. How about that?
That would be something. But while it could happen, and while it's hard to not be impressed particularly with how Irvine's played in this tournament and is playing now.
Pauly.
Sorry, Pauly.
Yeah,
Irvine
Irvine's doing a
has,
good job of
yeah,
scouting. They're doing a
Irvine
great
has
job
played
of
their way into
scouting.
the semis. I mean, let's give them some credit here.
I was sitting with them last night scouting. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, there they are. So.
And UC Santa Barbara is coached by Joe Pastrnak, an old Arizona assistant, and he's a very good coach, and he can draw up a game plan and throw you off. So San Diego better be on their A game. They better be ready because Santa Barbara will be have this game ready. They'll have scouted this game. They'll have everything they need in their plan to try and knock off the Tritons tomorrow. I think we could have two great semifinals tomorrow night.
I'm with you. I think this is going to be an exciting day, actually, and huge for UC San Diego, especially who we all have right squarely on the bubble should they need an at-large bid.
And I think also just the league. You know, this is just starting with tonight. These four that made it to today, plus the two with the byes, all very quality teams.
It was Mike. We had a little whack action tonight as well. The first game that was played was Seattle against Abilene Christian. Seattle held on. They now get go against the one seed tomorrow, Utah Valley. Seattle team was my pick to win this conference tournament. Also, do you think they can pull this game off tomorrow night?
They've got a good chance. I remember you said watch out for Seattle and they'll get their chance tomorrow night. I'll go with Utah Valley, but if Seattle wins, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. I actually like Grand Canyon to win this tournament. They really took care of Texas Arlington 2 days ago on Wednesday, or yeah, the day and a half ago. But I mean, I'm not surprised. You mentioned about Seattle, and they did their job tonight.
Yeah, and Griggs, as we record this, California Baptist has a 6-point lead late against Tarleton State. Could still go either way this game, but I called it. This is where the Lopes are going down tomorrow. I don't
Do you
care who
really?
They play, but I don't think anybody else agrees with me.
Well, I don't. I'm glad Rocco wasn't with us last night. Grand Canyon, to assess them, a super talented team that we thought would be, in the national spotlight, not just at the top of the WAC, that underachieved. But have they woken up? I mean, I know they didn't at the regular season, but now that they're in the tournament, are they done sleepwalking and just going through the motions? And is this when they get down the business and play like that team that we thought they'd be? Because this is a super talented, stacked roster. And if they get through this event and get into the round of 64, even if they're on the 13 or 14 line, they could really, really, really rock someone's world.
No doubt. Yeah, I think. I tend to think that's what the case is. Now, Tyon Grant Foster missed the last couple weeks of the year. He just came back in that UT Arlington game. And, you look at the numbers, he didn't have a good game, but he's still – so who knows if he's 100%. He's trying to force himself through it. But Jacoby Cole stepped up that night. And like you said, they're deep. They're very deep. And they have a huge advantage in Vegas. The Lope fans take over the arena. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to think they should be the pick. They're definitely the most upside there. And I agree with Chad. Like, we've been talking about Seattle for a couple of weeks. Seattle's got a couple of high major players. They've got some big wins despite having a bad record. And they were really close both times with Utah Valley. I've got a good feeling they can beat them tomorrow. But at the same time, they've let me down another times this year. So I'm going to just wait and see. But it's interesting because if Grant Foster is not 100% and somehow doesn't play, the championship game, I think the tournament's wide open.
That concludes all the games that were played today, and everything that's going to be played tomorrow as well. No new conferences kicking off. So let's go back. We teased it a little bit earlier at the top of the show. Let's go back to the survival board that we were talking about.
Yes.
Where we were tracking the number of teams, among other things, the number of teams left with a shot to win it all. Heading into today, Griggs, there was 150 teams left. As a result of today's action, with the exception of the late Big West WAC and Mountain West games that are going on right now.
Yeah, Utah State's about to win that when they're up 12, less than a minute to go.
Yes, but as a result, other than those three games, we are at 117 teams left. It's going to drop to 114 by the time the dust settles tonight here.
Yeah,
We are
unless
getting.
unless UNLV somehow comes back, then it'll be 115.
Right,
But
right,
yeah.
right. Utah State would not fall off if they lose. UNLV would be off if they do. But we've got
Yeah.
teams in various categories here, also for that committee whose minutes we checked it out at the start of the show.
Yes.
And this guy tells them, helps them along with what they need to do because they're so busy
Yeah.
with these spaghetti dinners and the
Ice cream
movies and
social
the ice cream
movie.
socials
Yes.
and the flying out to Minnesota to fire your head coach and all the other
Right.
stuff that they've been doing while they're out there.
Yeah.
But we've got some teams that are like Lipscomb there that are in blue and all bold. Those teams have won
Yeah.
automatic bids already. They have to be in, correct?
Yeah, they do. And we, as we saw in the minutes, they have voted all of the auto bid winners in. That's what they did today.
And then we've got teams that are regular type blue, like say Duke there. So if a committee member is not certain, Cooper Flagg got hurt, a sprained an ankle, maybe we should leave him out because of that. What does this say, Dan?
Yeah. Well, and again, and they may not have watched Duke all year. I mean, these are busy people. They don't know anything about basketball or see it. So this lets them know if they're wondering, hey, they really struggled against Georgia Tech. Should we be selecting a team that struggled against Georgia Tech? The answer is yes, they're in blue. So yeah.
And if you're looking at a team like St. Louis, we thought heading into the season, St. Louis would be a pretty good team in the A-10. They struggled a bit. Maybe they should get an auto bid just because we thought they were going to be good. Sorry, not large bid because they thought
Yeah,
they were
thought they were going to be good. And it's a good city, good barbecue, good music. I mean, I can
good.
understand a committee member wanting to select St. Louis because of that. But this is why we do what we do. We don't want them to make that mistake because they like the barbecue and the music. So they're not in blue or green. They would need the auto bid to get in.
Right. Now, there are also teams that are in red. Now, let's say Greg's a committee member came to this board and said, you know what? I've been watching the ACC tournament and I have not seen Boston College lose. Therefore, Boston College, we need to put them in.
And you wouldn't have seen Boston College lose, and they might think Boston College isn't in the tournament. Maybe they're really good and they don't need to play in the tournament. Maybe we should take them. And but this board is like, no, they're not even eligible to be considered. They've already been eliminated.
Didn't
So
even
again,
make
it's
the
just to
ACC
prevent
tournament.
any snafus for the committee. That's why this board is here.
We do, though, have the big thing the committee's been very upset with us about that there
Yes.
are all these teams in green that they have to decide. But tell us about some of these teams in green, like North Carolina, for example.
Well, maybe that's where we kind of want to leave it up to the committee, because there's reasons to take North Carolina and there's more reasons to leave them out probably, but we're not really sure. They're what's called a bubble team, and they'll have to decide. And my God, I mean, we got into this last night, Chad. You got a phone call and they were really angry. The chairman, well, you said you couldn't
I did a
sit.
thread to take away the ice cream until they started doing their
Yeah.
work.
Because they wanted us, they didn't want any of these green teams because they just don't know what to do with them.
Let's go to our countdown of our top 15 trophies in all of college athletics. We've
Yeah.
been counting them down. Quick
Countdown went down
rehash.
by one just now.
Yeah.
Quick rehash here. The wagon wheel, which we might see on a Saturday between Akron and Kent State.
Yeah.
We've seen the old Oak Rocket and all the other mythical conference buckets.
Yes, these are best trophies in college athletics.
Concordia St. Olaf Trail, that's a great trophy.
That
The
is.
Border War Trophy,
Yeah.
located on the border of Colorado and Wyoming, played between Kansas and
Missouri. Yeah.
whatever. Oh, the
In
Wynwood Cup. Oh, Winthrop and Longwood, it's our favorite trophy, I think, so far.
Oh, we got
The
to tweet.
Silver Shako between VMI and Citadel. I just don't ask, folks, don't
It's a real trophy. People don't
ask.
think that that's real. It really is. That
We've
was
seen the Gouch Eater
yeah,
Cup. It's
not.
a real Gouch Eater.
Yeah, that is a real couch eater. That's
We've seen the Southland Conference Tournament Trophy. It is the
yeah,
entire court.
it is
McNeese gets to take it home with them. Congrats
McNeese
to
does get
McNeese.
to take it home with them.
Not very far to go.
Yeah, not.
We saw King Spud.
Yes.
We saw the Nokoiwu Cup being eaten by a shark puppet. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And last night, oh, this was a good one. We saw the Brown Mouth Cup between Brown and Dartmouth. Wow, look at that thing. People thought we were making these up.
Yeah,
There it is
that
on the
the
screen.
brown mouth cup between. Okay.
Before I go any further, our Mock committee did meet tonight.
Yes.
We do have results, and one of the things that we do every year at our mock committee is we vote on a couple of awards. We
Yes.
vote on our Centenary Award for the worst team in all of D1, and our Stallings Award for the worst power conference team in all of D1.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Stallings Award-winning Miami Hurricanes, and here is their trophy. Hoops HD is a bronze statue head of the great Kevin Stallings himself.
Wow. Oh,
Yes.
jeez. Wow.
People didn't think this was a real award. It's going to be
No,
delivered
it's
to
a real
Miami
award.
very shortly.
We have presented teams with a Stallings award. We've had banners made up and with Kevin Stallings on it and shipped to the school. I don't know how we're going to ship this one.
It was so good. It threw Rocco right off the show. He
Yeah.
lost connection, unfortunately. But
Yeah.
that
I
note,
think
I
that'll
think
go right on Jai Lewis's new desk. Jai Lucas's new desk.
there we go. Jai Lucas, there you go. The Stallings Award.
Yeah.
We've got a couple more to come still. But on that note, if you want to find out more about what our mock committee did, there's a write-up on the website. Just go up there or down there, whatever that Mr. Sleeker did. But let's go to any of your final thoughts. And Mike, let me start with you tonight.
Oh yeah, I mean today definitely is the best day of the year. I mean, because there's so many games on Thursday, and today didn't disappoint. Punctuated by Kentucky's layup at the buzzer, but I think tomorrow, like as Greg's alluded to, tomorrow should be just as good, if not better, because maybe you don't have the quantity of games, but you'll make it up with the big name teams finally into action, and hopefully the quality of games on Friday will be just as good, if not better, than today's. Really
Absolutely.
excited.
Dorman.
Yeah, I'm really confused and at a loss by this North Carolina. Everyone, if you go and see bragatologists all over the internet, I don't get the real big bump up today by beating Wake Forest. Wake Forest had done nothing all year. I get it's the ACC tournament. I get it's late in the year. It's one of their last data points to show, but it just doesn't move the needle for me. And putting them in over teams like Indiana or Vanderbilt, it just, I don't agree with it. And you really need to do something against the team. When you haven't done anything all year, you got to do something to move the needle and beat a big name team. Duke tomorrow would be a start without Cooper Flagg. I think it's a little of a half mark, but either way, I have not moved North Carolina in yet.
All right. I think that it's going to be a real interesting debate. And there's one other data point that you got to look at, Dorman, and that's who is the chairman of the selection
Yes,
committee? And
absolutely.
it is their AD, Bubba Cunningham.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know he's busy right now
Yeah.
taping up doors
Yeah.
so that nobody goes running off and firing their head coach over the
Yeah,
middle of the night
right.
again. But Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, just as an update, Utah State did hold on the win, and Cal Poly up 11 with the ball with about a minute to go, wrapping that one up, just to kind of finish things up there. Final thought, it feels like championship week, the Thursday of championship week, once the day's over, it feels like you're over the steep part of the hill and running down. It's as great as this all is. I kind of hate seeing the board dwindle down to 100 and then less than 100, because it's just a reminder that the season's coming to an end. But still, great theater, great drama. I don't know if we've ever had an opening round. I don't think we have. Like we had in the SEC today, in terms of how exciting the games were and what the stakes of those games were. Now we're getting to a point to where everybody's still playing is more or less playing for seeding than they are to get in, minus maybe Texas. But God, what a day today.
It was. Who won the last WAC quarterfinal, which you didn't mention? Well,
It's
You'll have to
tight.
you'll all have to check the
It's tight.
scoreboard
1-point
as you
game.
as you, as you you'll all have to check a scoreboard by the time you watch it. It'll be final. It isn't final right now. On that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Rocco Miller from birdactiveheer.org, who had to run off early. He was I think he was at the airport trying to get home. We got David Dorman, Mike Chod, David Griggs as well. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow night with our second to last one of these video notebooks. Talk to you again real soon.